Welcome to installment 34 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two mitzvahs, our conclusion of Positive Commandment 19, to say the grace after meals, and Positive Commandment number 215, the commandment of Bris Milah, or circumcision. Since we have discussed this commandment at length over the past few days, we will give only brief mention to Positive Commandment 19, to make the blessing after meals. The Rambam quotes the Tosefta, which explains that this is a biblical obligation. However, the biblical obligation is only to bless after meals rather than before, and specifically upon eating bread, and specifically when one has eaten to one's satisfaction, as we have explained over the last few days and as explained at length in the Rambam's legal code and in the code of Jewish law. The law that the biblical obligation applies only after one has eaten and been satisfied, been full, is learned from the verse in the book of Deuteronomy, which states, "Ve'achalta v'savata," one should eat and be full, and then "Uveirachtas Hashem Elokecha," one is required to bless Hashem. The story is told of the Magid of Mezrich, who once was visited by a rich man, and the Magid asked him, "What is it you eat every day?" The man answered him that he eats nothing but bread and salt, like a poor man, impressing upon the Magid his rejection of worldly desires. The Magid said that he is not behaving properly, that he is a rich man and therefore should eat meat every day and drink sweet things, as rich people normally do. When he told the students of the Magid about this advice, they were puzzled. Why, after all, should he indulge himself in physical pleasures? Well, upon asking the Magid said it's quite simple, that if he eats meat and drinks sweet things, that when a poor person comes and asks for food, he at least will have a realization that the poor person needs bread and salt. But if all he eats is bread and salt, and somebody poor comes to him for money, then he will think, well, if all I need is bread and salt, then certainly the poor person could live on stones. And therefore the Magid commanded him to eat meat and drink sweet things, not for his benefit, but for the benefit of the poor people he would come in contact with. Although this grace after meals is the only one of the biblically ordained blessings, although according to some opinions, blessings over the Torah are also by Torah requirement, there are many blessings required by rabbinic ordinance. The Rambam groups them into three general categories in his legal code. Birchas Hanna, after having benefit from something, such as eating something or smelling something with a delightful smell. A second category, the blessings we say before performing a mitzvah. And a third category, Birchas Heida, a blessing of thanks or praise to God, such as many of the blessings we make in our prayer service, blessings recited upon seeing amazing acts of nature or amazing creations or natural occurring phenomena. The details of all of these blessings, as well as the laws, all of the laws of the blessings, are described in the tractate Brachas. The second commandment of today's portion is Positive Commandment number 215, the law of circumcision or Bris Milah. The Rambam quotes as a source for this commandment the commandment given to Abraham, Himo lechem kol zochar, that he was required to circumcise not only himself, but all of the male members of his household, including his children and any of his servants. Today this obligation lies on the father to circumcise his son at the age of 8 days. Should there be no father, or for whatever reason the father wishes not to circumcise, the responsibility is on the Jewish court to carry out the circumcision. The Rambam quotes a tractate Kiddushin, which tells us that a mother has no obligation technically to circumcise her son, since women are exempt from this commandment as regarding their children. Nevertheless, all of the tremendous qualities which are attributed to the Bris Milah and the special connection which is made with God as a result of the circumcision also apply to women. As the Talmud says, Isha kamanda mehiladamya, that women are as if they are already circumcised, meaning that without the act of circumcision, they have the same connection with God which is normally attained through the act of Milah. The punishment for non-performance of this commandment is a very severe one, that of Kores. Normally, the penalty of kores, or cutting off of the soul, is only an application by prohibitions, and only certain prohibitions. There are two positive commandments, however, which can lead to this punishment: not participating in the Pesach sacrifice, and also the bris. However, the penalty of kores would apply only to the child himself. After he has grown up and attained the age of bar mitzvah, then he is obligated to circumcise himself, and neglect of this duty will result in a punishment of kores. The details of this commandment are discussed in the 19th chapter of Shabbos and the 4th chapter of Yevamos. The Chinuch explains that this mitzvah is intended to separate us and distinguish us physically from all of the nations of the world, to show that just as a Jew has a distinct and unique soul, a unique neshama, so too this is expressed even in his physical form, that the body is different. And furthermore, says the Chinuch, we are not born that way, but rather we are created with the orla, with the foreskin, and then commanded to remove it, to show us further that just as the perfection of the body is within human capability, that we do this through human action, so too the perfection and the elevation of our soul also is possible with human action, through performing the mitzvahs, through Torah study and prayer. Our soul is purified and elevated, just as the body is purified and elevated through the act of circumcision. Circumcision has a unique place among all of the mitzvahs. The forefathers also performed mitzvahs before the Torah was given at Mount Sinai. They kept Passover, even though the Jews had not yet been sent to Egypt in order to be redeemed. They knew with their spiritual attunement that there could be certain things accomplished in the heavenly spheres, and therefore accomplished them without being commanded to do so through their own acts. As the Zohar tells us that Yaakov Avinu was able to perform the commandment of tefillin through cutting stripes in the stick, as related in the Chumash, the stripes being similar to the stripes created on the hand as a result of the straps of the tefillin. And so too Chanoch did the same, had the same result as a result of putting on a certain pair of shoes. However, any of these mitzvahs done before the Torah was given did not have the effect of purifying the physical world. They had their spiritual effect, but the physical part of the creation was not purified and elevated. Therefore, today we are not allowed, God forbid, to throw out a pair of tefillin. But Yaakov was able to throw away these sticks after he used them, since they had not been purified as a result of the mitzvah. The commandment of circumcision is unique among all of these commandments, that it was given before Mount Sinai and before the Torah was given, and we were given an ability and a command to purify the physical world through the act of circumcision, to bringing holiness into the physical body and making a dwelling place for godliness in physical flesh and in a part of the physical world. And this gave us the power that after the Torah was given on Mount Sinai, we should be able to bring a revelation of godliness into all objects in the physical world. That this opened up the path that we should later on be able to express godliness in the world through other forms, through other commandments as well. In this we can see the amazingly elevated quality of the mitzvah of milah, that godliness can be expressed not only in spiritual forms, to bring a revelation to the soul and so on, but also to the physical world. Plus, it is not a superior revelation brought to the soul and an inferior revelation brought to the body. The revelation brought through milah was actually higher than anything which could be revealed previously to the neshama, to a soul. This can be understood through investigation of the concept of bleak vul, of infinity, as explained in Chassidus. If we compare the number one with the number of drops in the Atlantic Ocean, we would consider this normally to be an infinite difference, something beyond counting. However, actually, this is not called bleak vul, an infinite difference. There is a finite number of drops in the ocean, something measurable, perhaps less than one in a million, one in a billion, and so on. But there nevertheless is a finite measurable comparison between the number one and this number of drops. What comparison is there between one and infinity? There's no comparison whatsoever. They're two completely different concepts. And even the number of drops in the ocean compared with infinity are just as immeasurable. Compared with infinity, this number of drops is no greater than the number one. This can also be explained in mathematical terms, that 1 over infinity mathematically equals 0. And so too a million or a billion or any finite number over infinity is also 0. In comparison with infinity, 1 and a million and so on are all the same. They are all finite and therefore completely insignificant in comparison with infinity. Therefore, in the realm of finite numbers, there's a tremendous difference between one and a million, or one with this number of drops. However, once we get into the realm of infinity, both this number of drops and the number one are totally equal. And so too with a godly revelation to the physical or spiritual worlds. When we're dealing with a limited revelation, a finite revelation, there's a tremendous difference between one and a million or a billion and so on. However, when we get to the realm of an infinite revelation, both one and a million, or the number of drops in the ocean, are all identical. Therefore, when it comes to a revelation to the soul, to a spiritual revelation, this can be a very high, but still finite sort of revelation. However, when we want to make a revelation, when God wishes to reveal godliness, even in the physical world, in the physical flesh, with the circumcision, He needs a tremendous revelation of bleak vool, an infinite revelation, this which that is so high, that both spiritual and physical, ruchnius and gashmius, are exactly the same, are exactly as insignificant in comparison with this infinite revelation, with a revelation of bleak vool, of infinity, both the spiritual and the physical are the same. And therefore, there can be an equal revelation to the soul in its highest aspect as there can to the physical body in its low, coarse aspect. Since in comparison with this high this infinite revelation, both of them are exactly the same. One of the greatest of the Chassidim once compared himself with the Chassid Zalman Zesmer, a tremendous intellectual in his understanding of Chassidus. And he said, my understanding compared to that of Zalman Zesmer is like that of a cat. And he went to explain further. Don't think I mean that a cat's knowledge as compared to mine is like my knowledge compared to Zalman Zesmer. Nay, that's not what I mean. What I mean to say is that in comparison with Zalman Zesmer, both my understanding and that of a cat are identical. Perhaps we can bring the comparison that when you're standing on the second floor of a building, you can see there's a difference in size between a person and a cat. But when you get into outer space, that both the cat and the person have the exact same significance. And this is how the Chassid compared himself to Zalman Zesmer. Not that my intellectual understanding is small compared to Zalman Zesmer's, as a cat compared to a person. No, both me and the cat have the exact same understanding in the presence and in comparison with the awesome understanding of godliness attained by the Chassid Zalman Zesmer. And Zalman Zesmer, of course, was only a Chassid and not a Rebbe.